It's Monday night with the crew. You got your boy Q.
And Rock.
And Stizzle.
Yeah, we're back for another Monday night. Snake. We're back for another Monday night talking all things, all sports. And so tonight we're going to lead off with most prominent thing going on in U.S. culture, right? NBA Finals. Just have a little recap of what our picks are looking like. So, Stiz, you want to start it off with NBA Finals? So, who'd you, you said you had going all the way?
Well,
play the tape back.
Said Denver and the Celtics, but Denver just lost, what, to the Timberwolves, right? And,
But I mean,
really watch basketball.
I mean, that's just game one, though, right? So, you know, I mean, there's a whole series left. You think the Nuggets will be able to get past the Timberwolves?
It's very possible. They got the Joker, right?
Yeah, man. And, I mean, Murray. So, you know, they're defending champs.
Aaron Gordon.
Easy, yeah.
Powell. You know. Reggie Jackson. They got a good squad.
Yeah, man. But to me, I mean, you know, I got the Wolves. And so I don't see – I'm not seeing – I think, like, Ant is just turned on right now. I think Gobert, he's ready to just, like, you know, go nuts defensively as well. You know what I'm saying? And so I still don't see Minnesota getting past the Wolves.
Minnesota is the Wolves.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Minnesota getting past the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the Nuggets getting past Nuggets. Minnesota?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Dang, what is going on?
Well, it's because that shit is legal in your state, you know?
Yo, so.
And the Bucks got bounced.
Yeah, Bucks.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, you know? I mean, where are we at? Dame came out saying, you know, people were all, you know, in his business, and he's like, you know, hey, yeah, I was feeling a certain way, you know, I'm going through a lot, but, you know, I wasn't allowed to practice because I wasn't going to, you know, before the season, so I couldn't train because I couldn't get hurt. You know, Giannis didn't know he was going to be playing with me, you know, and Doc didn't know he'd be our coach. So basically it sounds like they're all saying, you know, we didn't know, we didn't have time to prep. Now we're going to prep. And I'll be back next year. So sounds to me like they're bringing the core back.
So his excuse was that they weren't future tellers. Like they didn't know like what the future was going to be. So they couldn't adjust in real time. That's his excuse.
That's what he said. He said, hey, you know, like, yeah, basically, you know, because the Dame
trade, they couldn't get it together through the entire season.
Right, and then they really didn't play a lot of games together, the big three, because, you know, one was always hurt for the most part. So, and then Doc came in halfway through the season. So my whole thing on the whole take is, sure, we can make excuses for a bunch of stuff. But the reality is, name a team that you put together, you know, in history where we put together an elite team in that very same year, the first year they win it, right? I can't recall that ever happening, like, because did Boston win it the first year, or was it the
Golden
second?
State, right? But
what's that?
Yeah, they're already winning, though.
Yeah, they were already winning. Yeah, they just added, like, you know, they didn't lose anyone. They just added another star. You know, I mean, we lost a bunch of folks, so, you know, Drew and everything. But yeah, at the same time, you know, hey, man, look at the Celtics. Drew definitely, transition, same with Grayson Allen. He had the highest 3-point percentage shooting in the league. So we lost players and they transitioned very well with the teams that they went to.
Whoa.
And we did.
Yo, but I mean, like, some of these guys, you know, yeah, they were great during the regular season, but it's just the same story, like, with this year. You know, where, and like, you know, the text that I had with you, you know, where are those big shot Bobs? You know what I'm saying? Or are these key role players that, you know, they stand out. They stand out in the playoff runs. You know what I mean? Like, and they make a name for themselves in these runs. You know, it's like, yeah, Bobby Portis made a name for himself by getting ejected in the game where, like, both of our stars go down and we need it. He need them the most, you know what I'm saying? And show up, like, on 5 of 20 shooters.
Nah,
you know what
I can't, I can't co-sign on that. I'm asking you, name a series that was one where the stars, a star, didn't show up. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. In order to win the playoff series, stars didn't show up.
I totally agree.
You know, we had our guy sitting.
I totally
agree
with you.
For the fourth year out of five, you know, it's getting old.
It's getting really old. No, I totally agree with you in that regard. And so it's like, yeah, I'm surprised that they are, you know, going to continue with this core as opposed to look for younger guys because, I mean.
Oh, they are. I mean, they're going to actually play our younger core. So this year we had a good young core. We had AJ Green. We had Beauchamp. We had Josh Jackson. But the problem is Doc would only play old Pat Beverly.
That's
Beasley, who, you know, struggled damn near the whole year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's who they're going to be playing.
Putting in Danilo Gallinari as opposed to these guys, right?
Well, now, he played more too. Exactly. And he's not even going to, he might not even be in the league next year. For real. And that's another thing. Brook Lopez, you know, I think it might be time to move on.
Yeah,
and his 3-point shooting isn't as lethal as it was. Where it's not worth it no more. He doesn't want to play down low. He doesn't want to play down low.
3 years ago, I mean,
so you got to move him because that's what killed us. We don't have a big guy. Bobby's too small to play big. Brooks too slow to play, you know, the big role because he can't, you know, get back fast enough on the pick and rolls, and if he's not hitting that three, which I don't know what he shot. I want to say he shot high 30s, you know, 38 or something, but 39. But it's not going to cut it, you know. So look at all the
39% from three is, especially for a big man, is pretty good.
Not in today's NBA. I mean, that's average, you know, for these shooters. But but I'm looking at this.
Even for a five.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. For a true five, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, he's too slow too. So to be like a little above average on a shot.
Because we both know Giannis isn't shooting 38 from three.
Well, yeah, I mean you look at what's in the playoffs, they're all young. Look at all the old dudes are knocked out.
I know.
It's all young teams.
Yeah.
So you can't, Brook Lopez, I'm sorry, man, you're too, so someone said it on Instagram, you know, dude looks like he's running with a piano on his back, and he really does, you know, and it's just like, wow, like, you know, so, you know, it's time to move, you know, we got to move on for some folks. I mean, I thought they'd move on from Middleton, but it sounds like they're not.
Yeah, I mean, he showed off in the playoffs, like you say, when he's healthy, you know. That's the thing. It's like, that's another thing I wonder. It's like, how much strength conditioning do these guys do? It seems like nobody's really in the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I could be mistaken.
Well, apparently what I heard is that's all they do is, like, they don't want to actually practice anymore. They just want to work on their shot or whatever, and then they want to go lift weights. That's all they want to do. Like, they don't practice anymore. They don't run scrimmages anymore. That's what I heard. And a lot of times it's because the players don't want to. And let's be real, the NBA is a players' league.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, their union is very good.
Yeah. So because they're not doing these moves every day, that's why they're getting hurt.
Well, I don't know what it is. I think, you know, you ask me, and I just think people are sitting when they could be playing. Now, my whole thing is, I get it. These guys, you know, $60 million asset, you know, if you're a Bucks owner and you got Giannis, that's a $60 million asset. At the end of the day, these owners, of course, they want to win a chip, but the reality is they want to be relevant every year. So, I mean, that's your cash cow, right? So, I can see them, you know, hey, sit this year and come back next, you know, and we'll make the same amount of money almost, you know?
Right. So, and who you still got? Well, who'd you have? You had Denver.
Yeah, I got Boston. I got Boston coming out the east, and I got Minnesota coming out the west, and I got Minnesota winning.
Yeah, I still said. I still
Although
said.
I don't know, man, Dallas
I think
looks.
I said. Didn't I say New York coming out? No, I think I might have agreed, but I don't know. I just don't see. I don't think Boston's gonna do it. If it's between Boston and New York, I think the Knicks can take them. And then I think you're gonna see the Knicks in the finals. I'm changing. That's my prediction. New York, Minnesota.
Nick's probably gonna get swept by Boston, bro.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll
I
see.
mean, the Nets are too deep, or the Boston Celtics are too deep.
Yeah. But I mean, Brunson's showing he can play 48, 50 minutes a game, you know?
Let's see him
Right?
do first. I don't even think they're gonna get past the Pacers, to be honest with you. The refs stole one from them tonight, so. I don't even think so. They're gonna roll out of. They're not even gonna get to the Eastern Finals. They're not even yeah, round two.
So you said Indiana, huh?
I think Indiana will beat them, and then Boston will sweep Indiana.
Okay. All right, cool. Sounds good. All right. So next we got really interesting topic. Rock, you want to bring this one up?
Yeah, man. So I got a quick question for Stizzle over there. Stizzle, would you ever consider shooting a dog in the face?
No, this is
Huh?
QB draft shit.
It's this. Are we talking about Drake May?
Yeah,
Are we talking about Drake May? No,
no, Rock,
we're talking about
we're moving on to QB. The QB, that's your topic, the QB.
oh,
Yeah.
gotcha. Oh, yeah. So that's a topic I've been kind of wrapping my brain around. Like, everyone's all hyped. Clearly I'm a Packer fan. I've been a Packer fan my whole life. And, Caleb Williams gets drafted this year, and he's going to the Bears, and I think he's already the best Bears quarterback of all time, just because they've had absolutely nothing. No offense to Jim McMahon and Rex Grossman and Jay Cutler, but yeah, man. So I don't know. People are, all high on him and whatever. I'll be honest. I don't watch enough tape on the guy or games, but I've seen some of this here and there. But I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. He made some good throws that I've seen, but. I was more impressed watching, Michael Vick, coming out of college, or, even Lamar Jackson, or, so I'm just, I don't know. Well,
RG3.
yeah, RG3 coming out was pretty, impressive. So I'm just more or less, I'm curious. I don't know. So I try to wrap my, who's going to be the best quarterback coming out of this draft. And, I think, I'm not trying to be that guy that, comes to the poker or the roulette ta or the, what do you call it, craps table and bets against, what is that, putting on the line, they call that or whatever, when
Yeah,
you,
the don't pass line.
yeah, they don't pass line when you bet against
Yeah,
everyone
that's
else.
me. That is me.
That's
Because
you,
it gives me the
yeah.
better odds. You know what I'm saying?
It does. It just makes you the asshole. But, I'm thinking and I'm going. I think there was so much hype on this draft class that I'm wondering, really, because then I started going, okay, Jaden, what is it, Jaden Daniels? Like, I don't know, he's pretty small. I'm like, I don't know, how long can he last? His big strength is his legs. That's a big part of his game. But how long can he last at the NFL level taking hits like that? Caleb Williams is built a little bit different as far as he's, from the bottom down, he's thick and everything like that. I think he can take some hits, but at the end of the day, I don't know how he's built. Just can he handle the NFL? Can he handle the pressure? Can he, the organization? Blah blah. Drake May, they say, is the most ready quarterback, but at the same time, he played in the ACC. So what competition you got in the ACC? Like Wake Forest and, I guess Clemson, but. Clemson hasn't been good. So I'm going, okay, like, you know, JJ McCarthy, I'll be real, I wasn't really impressed. I'm a Big Ten guy, watched a lot of his games, and
Yeah.
I don't know, nothing did it for me, right? And then
Yeah.
who's the other guy? Who's the last one? Oh, Bo
You got
Nix.
Bo Nix, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm personally not a big fan of Sean Payton. I don't know the guy personally, but I thought what he did to Russell Wilson, you know, and I didn't, you know, the whole like the Saints. What did they have that? What was that, Chris, when they did that headhunting thing or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So
Hey, do you remember that?
What?
Sean Payton, the headhunting deal. He was paying.
Oh yeah,
Bounty players.
Bounty
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know they got the defensive coordinator is the one who took the fall for that. But at the end of the day, you're the head coach. Definitely, he knew it was up. To me, that's just kind of dirty. You know. So then, you know, and the whole Russell Wilson thing, like, you know, you don't belittle people like that. You know. So I just got a problem with the guy. You know, I don't know him. I could be completely wrong, but just from what I've seen and heard. You know, so I go, okay, he took Bo Nix, but he seems to me like a very controlling person. So I don't really know what this Bo Nix. He didn't impress me at Auburn either. So I'm just looking at this class and going, you know, I really think I bet you there's going to only be one guy that is still playing at a high level in the NFL, not backup or, you know, not, you know, at a 500 team, but, you know, at
Let
a
me
high
guess.
level.
Let me guess who you're going to say. Michael Pratt.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
No, get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go for it.
Not Michael Pratt, but Michael Penick.
Oh, Michael Pratt. No, I was saying Michael Pratt, the guy at the Packers drafted.
Oh, no. So, Penick.
Okay.
I think
Michael
Penick.
Penick.
Is gonna be the guy who actually has the best career.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you watch the guy throw the ball, there's just something about the way he throws the ball that's hands down better than. I mean, I don't know, Dan Marino, maybe Aaron Rodgers-esque, like just the way he. It just looks like he just completely dominates that ball, and like he just throws it better than anyone. If you just watch tape on the guy throw the ball, it's insane. You know, he had a horrible championship game, but hey, man, that was a championship game. I mean, he
yeah, exactly.
Took
That's
that
what I'm
team
saying.
All
A
the
lot
way
of
there.
guys,
you know?
are like knocking the guy for like, you know, and did he really do that bad? Did he really do that poorly?
He had a pretty bad game, but I mean, let's be real, like. You know, like, hey, okay, he had a bad game. Like, I mean, if we were to, like, judge people, Aaron Rodgers wouldn't even be in the top 20 then. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers has had tons of bad games during big games, you know? So we can't just knock folks for, you know, one bad game, you know? So that's just my take on it. I was just curious to see what you guys think if, you know, where your take is on this draft class, the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's an interesting class because as far as, you know, like you're saying, like stature, what's his name, Jaden Williams, or they say he's 6'4", 210, or that's Jaden Daniels, right?
Jaden Daniels is small.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they say he's 6'4". That's what he's listed at, so...
Jaden Daniels, they got almost at 6'4".
Yeah.
Hmm.
What do you think he is?
Like more like 6'1", maybe about a 175.
Okay. Yeah, because they got him at 6'4", 220, or 210, 210. So yeah, probably about a 180, 6'1", 190. After he left the weight room, right?
You know, I do think though that go ahead.
Well, I mean, why don't we think Bo Nix? You know, he had a pretty good college career. You know, played against a lot
but
of
who do you
competition.
Think? Who do you think?
If
you were gonna put, you know, hey, you gotta bet your 401k on one of these guys, who are you gonna put it on?
Let's see. And none of these guys went to Oklahoma.
Why?
Spencer Rattler did, didn't he? Spencer Rattler went to Oklahoma and then did he transfer?
So who would you pick? What are you Googling it?
Yeah, I'm looking something up real quick. So
what about you, Sizzle?
I would go Spencer Rattler. Because, I mean, he's coming out of, you know, he was amazing at Oklahoma.
Was he?
Yeah, man.
What did Oklahoma finish?
But, I mean, as far as freaking the stats, you know what I'm saying? So, as far as what he did with the football, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like Oklahoma to me, that's QBU, you know what I'm saying? Like, Miami, they want to be DBU, right? Freaking, oh no, Texas, they want to be DBU. And Penn State, they're out linebacker U, right? I mean, Oklahoma, they got freaking smoking QBs, man. And this dude looks just, you know, like.
Yeah, but dude, he transferred. He didn't play for, like, he transferred out of Oklahoma and played for the Gamecocks for, like, I think his senior year. Like, he did the NIL thing.
Yeah. Well, he had a few games at Oklahoma, didn't he?
No, because he sat behind what's his face?
Yeah, behind Mahomes, right?
No, like, that's way, like, after Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he didn't he sit under like the dude that we picked up? And then he lost to him, Tanner Mordecai or whatever, remember, for the Badgers?
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't think, well, I mean, so you'd bet your 401k on Spencer Rattler, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just
remind me not to gamble with you, bro.
Hey, just wait, right?
What about you, Sizzle? Who you got? Let me guess. Pete Rose.
You know, Caleb Williams probably is the gonna be the best quarterback of that class. I think Jaden Daniels is probably gonna do really well but then get hurt, like RG3. Drake May. He's gonna be like a what's the guy from the Bears?
Andrew Luck?
Trubisky? No, Trubisky.
Oh, you think
he's going to be a Trubisky?
Yeah.
And who was number three? Oh, Drake May, right. And then
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that guy sucks. So, yeah, of all those, I think Caleb Williams will probably be the most successful, but I still think he's got the Bears stank on him now. Something's bad going to happen. Like, he's going to get a crack habit, you know, or get caught.
Wait, get caught what? A crack habit? Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, why?
He's become a massive cokehead. He probably already is one, you know? You know, he's got the nail polish. You're telling me, like, a dude with nail polish isn't, like, fucking balls deep in coke?
Jeez Louise.
I'm just saying, right now, you look at starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and Oklahoma is somewhat of a trend. You know, Tua didn't. He went to Alabama, right? He didn't stop at Oklahoma for a bit. No. But
you're thinking of Jalen Rose.
Jalen
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. Yeah, that's right. So they're both there at the same time. And then
And you're thinking of
Mahomes?
Mahomes. Mahomes didn't go there. Mahomes went to Texas Tech. You're thinking of white dude from Tampa right now, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mahomes went to Texas Tech. Johnny Manziel went to Texas A&M.
Yeah, okay.
So, Stiz, you got Caleb Williams. That's a safe bet. Now, here's my question to you two. That is a safe bet. I think he's probably got that's, you know, he's probably the bet over the field.
I know,
my question
I'm
to you guys
on
is,
a limb.
Is, yeah, me too. My question to you guys is Caleb Williams still on the Bears in 5 years?
I think not, because they'll still suck. He'll be like the one bright spot, and they'll probably like try to unload him for draft picks. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think, Stiz?
I mean, I guess it depends on how much of a bust he is. I mean, they didn't keep Trubisky too much longer, right? They got rid of, they didn't want to pay him a big contract, so.
But Stiz, you're saying that he's going to be good.
No, but I was still saying that he's got that Chicago sting on him now.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, he'll be the bright spot, you know. He'll do well, but he won't get the support from the organization. And so then the organization will be like, oh, we just need to draft more people, like, or whatever the hell they're doing, you know, because it's like, I think that's what it is. Like, I think, like, the suit, like, the draft is, like, the Bears Super Bowl, because, like, I think they might make money off of it, you know what I mean? Like, more people, like, are so happy about, like, who the Bears are going to draft to possibly make their team good that, like, the Bears somehow monetize it, you know what I mean? Because they're like, well, we're not going to get any money off the Super Bowl, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, it never happens where the number one overall pick goes to a team that was, you know, what, 7-10 or whatever. What were they, 8-9 or whatever the hell they were? Like, you know, usually it goes to the, you know, the 0-1. You know, one in 16 team or whatever.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing; they'll stay 8-9. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Like I'm like Sizzle. Like there's something that's. I think the NFC North might have a shot. It's between them and the AFC North. I think that are going to be the best divisions in football this year.
Yo, but I think, like, when you have a more competitive division, you don't get those, like, 12-4 records, you know what I'm saying? Because teams are beating up on each other, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you got it last year. You had the Pittsburgh Steelers, you had the Browns, and you had the Ravens. And the Bengals, but the Bengals were hurt. Mm-hmm.
What were their records?
Well, I mean, the Ravens were the number one overall seed in the thing. The Browns were higher than.
I mean, we also had expanded playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like 3 years ago, we had how many less teams?
Yeah, all I said is I think that the NFC North and the AFC North are going to be the top divisions in the league. That's all I said.
Yeah. All right.
What do you think? What do you think is the toughest division in the league going to be the toughest division in the AFC and then the NFC?
AFC, NFC. Let's see. What's happening down in AFC South? Because you got the Texans, they just reloaded. Arizona.
Yeah, we have they got like Jacksonville and Indiana. Oh, you know, Tennessee actually made some big moves this offseason.
Yeah, man.
What do you think, Sizzle? Who's toughest division, AFC, NFC? Who you got?
Probably NFC North, and then probably the AFC West. Be toughest next week.
Really? Raiders don't even got a quarterback, and Denver got Bo Nix.
Yeah, he's a rookie, though. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So you think they're going to be best division?
They got Gardner Minshew. Yeah, what? You got the Chiefs? They're probably going to win the Super Bowl.
He said you got Gardner Minshew, though, he said.
You got the Chiefs are probably going to win the Super Bowl next year. You got freaking the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh.
Well, you got, yeah, and what's
and
Herbert?
What's his face? Herbert. You know, you got the Raiders with that good coach. You know, they beat the Chiefs last year twice.
Antonio Pierce.
Kansas City always, too.
I know. And then who's the other team in the AFC?
Denver with the rookie Denver, bonus.
Yeah, young quarterback, yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, you think they're going to be better than the reigning MVP in Lamar
But it's
Jackson.
Also, but it's also like, what are those teams? What are the other divisions that those teams are playing this year? You know what I'm saying? So
right, the competition and all that.
Yeah.
But just off the face of who's the better teams, I'm not saying record wise, just who's better teams. You know, so you got you can take Kansas City. You know, slightly better than Baltimore, you know, but then you got, you know, I don't know, you got Cleveland, you got Pittsburgh, and you got Joe Burrow. Like, I don't know, it's hard to dispute that the AFC North isn't, on paper, the best AFC, division in the AFC or whatever. Because you're taking, like, no quarterback in Raiders, basically, and then a rookie quarterback in Denver, you know, over.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also at this point, you know, the season's still 4 months away, you know what I mean? I mean, training camp still doesn't open for another 2 months, you know what I'm saying? 2.5 months, so.
Well, barring any injuries.
You know? Yeah, and always that too, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Well, I mean, we covered which QB we feel would have the best career. Moving on, this, you know, I mentioned topic that I mentioned last week that I wanted to bring up is the NIL, name, image, likeness, and kind of, you know, how that's affecting the landscape in college, collegiate sports. And so, you know, I did a little research this week, and you know, I'm realizing that this may have to be a multi-part, multi-part topic, because there's really a lot to it. You know, I initially wanted to just kind of cover what I felt it was doing as far as kind of player loyalty and such things like that. You know, how it's kind of, to me, it looks like, you know, it really does look like the NFL these days, where it's like you don't really see people with the same teams and, you know, kind of jumping in the portal just to see who can offer them, you know, the better NIL package. And, you know, just after doing some research, you know, kind of really changed my opinion because it seems like, you know, there's some good things, good intentions, you know, going around and going behind the scenes with the NIL. Like, you know, for example, you know, there are organizations that are being set up to, you know, really kind of help recruit that NIL money. Oftentimes these are being led by student athlete alumni from schools. And so I believe it's like Kansas State over in Manhattan, they've got an NIL association, and it's just, a group of student alumni that are out there, and they're putting together NIL package deals. And one of the things that I thought was super cool that they did was an NIL package helps do is get walk-on students, help them with their tuition, and help them with, you know, just kind of those school fees and stuff like that. Because, I mean, you know how tough it is, like being a walk-on. It's like you're paying your own tuition out of pocket, and you're also playing football. So a lot of times that means, like, hey, you know, if you're not from a certain class of family, like, you're probably working or, you know, collecting all kinds of crazy student loans in order to pay for your own living while playing football. And as a student athlete, you know, like, I'm sure your food bill is out of control, right? And so, you know, these organizations are kind of helping these students that, you know, maybe aren't, you know, what we are thinking how the NIL works, these top students, you know, like your Shedeur Sanders, right? Who's supposed to be like the number one NIL getter, you know, like they're, it's helping these students that are less recognized, who are working just as hard as everybody else and may not have the same essential, you know, benefits, getting, you know, be a scholarship athlete, something like that. So I thought that was super cool. And then as far as with the scholarship athletes, you know, I also read that various states are now implementing their own NIL laws, and you know, it's another one of these protections for these student athletes. I looked at one, you know, some of the state laws, and some of the things that I kept seeing is protection for student athletes with NIL deals, that schools can't remove scholarships because a student has an NIL deal. And so apparently, you know, that might have been something that schools are doing, right? Because essentially, scholarships sometimes are based off of financial need, right? And so they'll be like, oh, well, you've got this NIL deal now, so you aren't necessarily in the same category. So let me take the scholarship away and give it to somebody else, you know? And so, you know, there is that aspect to it as well. But, you know, even though these people are getting NIL deals, some of the examples I've seen also are, you know, these students using these NIL deals to help put their families, you know, their parents, you know, they may have children, their brothers, sisters, siblings, you know, various relatives that, you know, may have even raised them, help raise them, you know, into better situations. So, you know, even afford their parents the opportunity to come see them play at the college level where they may not have been able to afford that before. And so, you know, really digging in, I'm kind of seeing the different perspectives and the different, you know, one, benefits to the NIL deals, and also kind of seeing the inner workings. And so, you know, that's just kind of a brief, you know, initial go around of, I guess for me, the initial surprise and the side of the NIL that I didn't really think about and you know, didn't really expect to go over initially. So, I mean, you guys have any questions about NIL? You know, maybe there's something I could, you know, answer, cover that that I've seen, possibly that you might have questions about or something like that.
I don't.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No, I know.
Well, I mean, well, how do you feel about it? You know, like, do you think it's a good thing? Like,
it needs to be managed. It needs to be managed differently.
In what regard? That's what I'm saying. You know, like, do you know, what do you mean by that?
I think you got to get rid of the NCAA completely, because no longer is it. It's changed the whole landscape of what college was, right? College was never. Well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't technically, like, we knew that backdoor deals were always going down, but it was supposed to be a, we don't pay, you know, it's a big difference when you pay, you know, when you don't pay and you do pay. Now it's like a different, like, business, it's a business now, so it can't be managed by the NCAA, it needs to be managed by, you know, a private company. Someone needs to come in and buy.
Yeah,
it, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, like I say, that's kind of, that is what's happening. There are those organizations I was talking about that are, you know,
well, they're talking about it. Yeah, the NCAA isn't just going to give that up. It's going to be a fight. You know.
Yes.
What I mean?
I mean, well, that's also, you know, what state laws are, you know, have discussed as well, and have, you know, come up with. You know, some state laws make it mandated where the schools, they have nothing to do with NIL, and, you know, it really is up to each individual to kind of manage that. I mean, it's not necessarily the NCAA that's managing NIL deals. It is each university that's managing them. So it's less the NCAA and really each institution. And then, like I say, a lot of these institutions are essentially, you know, contracting the NIL deals out to these alumni associations, and having them put together, you know, various deals. Because, like I say, in some state laws, it's saying, you know, like, you know, students can only get some, you know, X amount, and it can only come from these areas. You know what I mean? But other state laws are saying that, you know, like, you know, you can get it from wherever you want, you know, and the school can't stop you, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there is regulation around it. That's, you know, said, like, any questions you have, let me know. I can, there is regulation around these things, and it's really regulated by each state. So, Yeah, I can let you know more about that as it comes. And so sounds like it might be something you want to hear about. What about you, Stiz? You got any questions, interests?
Pay the players.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man, because it's like, rock, that's, I mean, like, somebody takes a picture of you rocking a Nike shirt, you know what I mean? Or I remember back in the day, the Titleist hats.
What, do you think I'm against it or something?
No, I know. I mean, you're just saying, you know, there needs to be regulation around it, I guess.
No, I just said the NCAA has to get out of it. It needs to be taken over by a private company and make it a, you know, make it a business, right? It needs to be treated as a paid for-profit, like with employees, because now these players, college players are employees.
The NCAA as an institution.
Well, the entire NCAA has to remove themselves from the sports aspect of it because this is a for-profit. It always was, but now these are employees. You're paying them. So, you know, I want to know, are they paying taxes on this shit? How's it being regulated?
Yeah, they do pay taxes.
You know what I mean? And how's it being regulated? Yeah. And that's what I mean. The NCAA has no business being involved in this type of stuff because that's not what they do. That's why what I'm saying. I also think, off topic, we need to fix the problem with why is college so expensive to begin with before we even care about, like, college kids making millions of dollars to play football. We need to fix, you know, why is college education so expensive all around? Because, Brock, to your point about these walk-on guys, boo-hoo, I'd care less. Yeah, boo-hoo that walk-in guys aren't getting free stuff. There's people sitting next to them in class who are literally working at another job.
To me, you just kind of contradicted yourself.
Hold on, I'm not
like
done.
In one
I'm not
sentence
done.
Where you said,
how did I do that?
Because you're like, I mean, you said boo-hoo, these guys, you said boo-hoo to the walk-ons, but you're talking about kids making millions, when essentially, like, that's not the case. Like,
repeat what you just said. How did I, you know, say one thing? How did I talk about both sides of
it? You talked about kids, college kids making millions of dollars, which most of them are not making millions of dollars off NIL deals. Because, like I said, most of them are.
But how did I talk out of both sides of my mouth? I'm
and then, in the same breath, you said, you know, you could care less about the walk-on kids, boo-hoo.
I care less about any of them making a bunch of money. I care less. I said, my whole thing is, that's 1% of the student population is the football player, the athletes. I said on another note, to get off topic, they should discuss first, why is college so expensive to begin with? Because then that translates into the whole walk-on and all the other stuff. So my whole thing is, you know, why are we paying so much in the walk-ons and all this? Who cares? You know, like, as far as there's other people who every day kids are dealing with it. So why is it an important thing if a walk-on has to deal with, you know, eating more? They need money because they need to eat more calories or whatever the angle was.
Well,
on
no, it's
that
not
one
necessarily that. I mean, we know why. It's because the football team brings millions of tens of millions of dollars in for a lot.
No, but
of
why are we boohooing about the walk-on guy who needs a piece of the NIL money because he eats more? You know, like, why? What was the point of that? Who cares?
No, I was saying how, you know, because we have this misconception where kids are getting millions of dollars, you know, just all willy-nilly, and it is unregulated. You know, that was to illustrate the point that there is regulation and there is structure around these NIL deals, not just to, you know, like, go to one specific person, the star or whatever. You know, it is going towards the bigger picture and helping, you know, like, more or less the team. So that was the point.
You think Shakur Sanders is like what giving his money to the team?
No, but they're so what happened? I mean, it's, you know, just like, you know how it goes. Like the Packers, they ride the frickin', you know, tailgate bus, right? Like you see Kenny Clark and freaking Ngabare on the bus for like 3 days, and then they get dropped off in, you know, Menasha and get picked up by, you know, their buddies and take off. And then freaking, you know, what? Then you got freaking AJ Dillon on the bus for a couple days. It's like, you know, you got to pay your dues. Like, so it's like teams have to show up to, like, you know, all these people that have given loot, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, no, like I'm saying, like the NIL deals are not necessarily exclusive solely to individual players, but these organizations, they secure NIL deals for, you know, those people that aren't necessarily like Shedeur Sanders, you know, and those people that essentially did walk on, you know, knowing that it was going to be a struggle, not necessarily because they're looking for an NIL deal, but because, you know, maybe they enjoy playing college sport of football. Because, I mean, that's what this is about, right? Kids playing football. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, what's Stizzle's opinion on this?
Pay the kids.
Yeah. Let them get whatever they want, whatever they can get.
Whatever they want, whatever they can get.
Do you think the organization, like, you know,
whatever they're going to get paid, let them get paid.
So I have a question. So if you, okay, say I'm a college dude, you know, like, you know, I'm recruited, you know, number five, like I'm the best, let's say quarterback in the draft or whatever, or in the recruiting class that year. So the Badgers say, all right, we're going to give you $3 million. Is there a contract on that? Is it like, okay, for a year, and then after my year, I go and I say, okay, who's going to give me the next most, and then I just go there? Or what's the deal? Is there actually contracts being drafted up for more, or are they just one-year deals, or what? How does this work?
Yeah, they're NIL contracts. They're drafted up. Yeah, I mean, and they can make them typically as long as they want to, you know what I mean? And I mean, once these kids get the money, like there's actually even nothing beholding them to, you know, like, and you know, I've read in some cases, there's nothing even beholding for them, like, you know, staying there, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, there are, of course, like everything, loopholes that these people are exposing. But yeah, I mean, and there's NIL contracts. You know, there's a lot of legislation around these NIL contracts that says that an individual's NIL contract can't have any hindrance on a university's contract, right? So, like, the kid signs a deal with Nike, but the school's an Under Armour school, like, the kid can't just say F off and rock on Nike stuff, right? Because that's in violation with the universities. And so, Yeah. I mean, they, you know, they're not letting this, you know, it's been 3 years. It's been 3 years come July. July 1st, 2021 was when it, you know, was deemed that it name, image, likeness was a go. And it's been 3 years since that. And in that time, you know, there has been, you know, like I say, regulation created around it federally. Regulation created around it, you know, at the state level, as well, you know, at the university levels, things like that. So, And so it'll be something I'll have. This is just like, you know, the NIL part one, just a brief introduction, a shallow dive into it. But yeah, I'll keep giving updates on it. So, and you guys, just any questions that you have, let me know. I'll do my best to get them answered, because it's a murky thing, but I think it's great.
You should maybe look into maybe becoming an NIL lawyer.
Should be an agent.
Get your agent license. Yeah, exactly. Like, become just become one of those organizations that's collecting all these deals and being able to offer it for, you know, UC Davis or highest bidder, right? So, because that's what you can do. You can collect and as like a separate entity organization, you can collect an NIL package and then sell it to a university, you know what I'm saying? And then that university can be like, this is our NIL package, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, there's ways to get loot, right? So, yeah, so look for part two coming probably next couple weeks. And, yeah, I guess I'll just continue on with a little rugby update.
We got 11 minutes, sir, by the way.
All right. So then, you know, I could save the rugby update, give that guy a see you next week. Should we just go into a little controversy? What do you think, Stiz? You wanna bring it up?
Current events?
Yeah, well, you know, I know you like to hunt with dogs.
Sporting event. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not part of that culture, you know, so I don't know how this stuff works.
Yeah, well, you're the one that brought this story to my attention. I hadn't even heard of it. So, yeah, you're saying what, like the governor of South Dakota, SODAC, Christy Noem, she
wrote a book.
Put her dog down. Was it called How to Put Your Dog Down?
No, it's no turning back.
Taking Fido out back.
Yeah, no turning back, and it retells a story about her. A couple of years ago, she had a 14-year-old hunting dog puppy, whatever those things are.
14-month, yeah.
And apparently, it was aggressive towards farm animals, you know, like chickens.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And, I mean, without even, like, telling you what happens, I mean, what would you do? I mean, you'd shoot the dog in the face, right? For all of his misery?
Well, I mean...
That's standard procedure?
Yeah, I mean, probably not, you know, thinking about it. My initial... Because, I mean, truth be told, actually, this just happened to me 2 days ago. You know, I got two new pups, and, you know, we got chickens. And they got out of their coop, and I didn't realize it until I go out in my backyard, see feathers everywhere, and find one of my puppies ripping, just like dismantling the chicken
blood
from its back. No, he was like, the chicken was like still alive. He was like eating the chicken's back. And so I was just like, you fucking asshole. So, you know, I grabbed the dog. I had to alpha flip him and put him in a kennel in the garage for isolation purposes. But no, my first instinct was not to shoot the dog. I am having somewhat behavioral challenges with this dog in training. But I think it is because he's got low self-esteem, not necessarily aggression. And, you know, I hadn't walked the dog that day. You know, it's like puppies need fucking exercise, otherwise they get neurotic. So, yeah, no, my first instinct would not have been to shoot the dog in the face. Because actually then, like, 30 minutes later, I call for my other puppy and can't find him. And then he comes running from out of the chicken coop. And I found out he'd snuck into the chicken coop. And he is... dismantling another one of our chickens. And so, yeah, that was two chickens in an hour span that I lost because of puppies, and I did not shoot them in the face.
Are you just reading from Where the Red Fern Grows right now?
No. is that crazy? Is my life a book?
Were you hunting coons?
No.
Sizzle, what do you do when another male alpha flips you?
Fucking find out where he lives. Yeah. It's another story with a gun in your mouth. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. So no, I mean it sucks though. Like, you know, for a dog, because I mean you're training these dogs to be well behaved and to be a part of the community that's already existed. And this thing is going against the tribe. And that's like killing stuff that provides sustenance for you. You know what I mean? And so, this, and at 14 months, you know, that's a year and a half. That's, you know, well, just over a year old dog. And I mean, you know, probably maybe like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, it really depends on like the circumstance. Because if it was
a little deranged, a little bit. If I mean, would there be any circumstances you'd shoot a dog?
Yeah, if it was, like, if it wasn't just chickens, you know, like if it was like, if it was like a serious nuisance, if it was like biting people,
We can hear that.
You wouldn't like maybe give it to someone who can maybe handle it a little better than you?
I mean, if like, if that, I mean, like at a year, if, I mean, like, yes,
I feel consider, like if people okay, can't yes, control like, their dog, consider, they probably yeah, should be no, having dogs, you know?
No, I would consider that, but like I'm saying, if it's me, that's what I'm saying, if it's me, knowing how I work with my dogs, and like, if it's a dog that like, you know, that like I can't train, then that, like I feel, then yes, it's going to be difficult for anybody to train, and maybe this dog isn't best around people because it's really unpredictable and that's not safe.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just because you can't train it doesn't mean someone else can't.
Yeah, you're right, but I mean,
who are we just to kill other animals because, you know, because they're being animals?
Yeah,
really, you're taking them out of their element and telling them not to behave the way they're wired.
At this point, it's not me. Like, as a society, it's something we've adopted, and it's acceptable
Damn,
practice.
So you'd vote for this chick then, huh? Kind of turns you on a little bit.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are situations that I understand, especially because it's a situation I've been in. You know, I've seen.
So you're saying it's a tough decision, but one, you know, one yeah, someone yeah, has to make.
Exactly.
Themselves.
Like I'm saying, if you know, like, you, I mean, do you know, did she take the dog to obedience training? Maybe it was something that she had tried, but it is a habitual thing. And so now, yes, this dog isn't safe around, like, anything. If it's just, like, going after, you know, anything, if it nips people even, which is something that, you know, like, is understandable and believable, then, you know, the dog is not a safe domesticated animal, and it shouldn't be a domesticated animal.
You might be the only person that's defended her, defended this lady.
I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm defending in specific instances. Like, if the dog
has... She's not the only person that's defending her, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a lot of folks, you know... You know,
and I'm saying, like, yeah, like, if the dog's been through obedience training, you know. And
I just don't think it should die. You shouldn't kill an animal. I mean,
well,
come
what
on,
are you
like,
going to do with a dog that's possibly going to bite you?
You just put him in a crate.
Well, is it biting animals or is it biting people?
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's
this thing
context?
Bit animals,
yeah,
not people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's,
wow, her story is changing. She later said, like, oh, they're endangering her kids. You know,
yeah,
that's not in the book.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's my thoughts. Like,
yeah, and then you give them to someone
see,
like, give them to
I
someone
see,
like me.
Because
give them to
I
someone
see
like
my
me
puppy behavior, but because right now I'm in it. I see my puppy behavior, right? And so, like, you know, I, yeah, like, nipping.
You're like, I get it. I get
issue.
It. Sometimes
yeah.
I want to shoot this fucking dog in the face, too.
Yeah.
You get it.
Like I said, when it killed the chickens, oh, I was heated, man. I was heated. Because, yeah, like you said, Rock, what gives me a right to kill another thing because of the thing? What gives that dog a right to kill that chicken, right?
Because it's wired to. It's wired to.
Yeah, so it's wired for me to whoop that dog's ass after it does it, right?
Well, then you got to kind of ask, like, why do you have dogs? You have dogs to kill other animals. Like, you got dogs to kill other animals.
No, that's not true.
No.
I kill the animals. Those animals retrieve them or flush them.
Right, so you got dogs to help you kill other animals.
No, I kill the animals. Mm-hmm. The dogs go retrieve it.
Right. So for the whole process, though, the dogs are in there for the killing process.
Yeah, you want.
They're part of the process.
You want to be killing the animals without the dogs. Yeah.
No, I still can. They just make it easier for me to retrieve it. I don't have to get out of the blind and go get it. Just send the dog.
Yeah, just stay home.
Yeah, you can just go to the grocery store.
Factory farming. Yeah, love it.
or the, you know, the butcher shop. But
yeah, I do.
No, but I mean, if people are killing their dogs, though, I question whether or not they should have had dogs in the first place.
Yeah, but I understand that. But I also,
if you can't train a dog, like, shame on you.
But I also understand, like you say, some dogs are just hardwired more. Some dogs you can't train.
Right, so give them to someone else. Some dogs give them to someone else Right, give them to someone else.
But, yo, if that dog is already proven that it's, like, gonna attack you, or, you know, like, it's not gonna stop at chickens, other dogs, you know, cats, you know, somebody has a freaking bird in their house, pigeons, you can't walk this dog down a freaking city street without it chasing every freaking pigeon and ripping your arm out.
I mean, the streets of Bismarck, North Dakota, or South Dakota,
So, I mean, you know, it's like there's lots of, I see lots of intangibles, and it's like, yes, like if it was just some like heat of the moment, like pull her pistol out and cap the dog, no, I don't think that's.
Well, she killed a goat too, you know, before that.
Well, was it harvest time?
No.
Because I had to kill a goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got half of it. I got half of it. Made goat ribs and goat stew. It was pretty good.
Yeah, goat's okay. I had some goat at this restaurant called Chiffon in Third Ward.
Nice. Was it fresh goat?
I don't know, but it was $50 a plate goat.
Nice. I was actually had seen this goat like the day before. Alive, and then had the
killing is his real deal,
killing in the name of, and now you do what they told you, right?
Damn, Stiz, dude. Stiz, you don't like killing, do you?
No, I mean, unless you have to, no reason to.
You cool with killing plants?
I mean that. I mean, I don't like, you know, if you have to cut down a tree.
Yeah, you'd be killing trees. You'd be killing trees, though, huh?
Nah. I would rather not kill a tree. Cut down a tree.
What do you mean? You'd be killing herbs and shit.
Yeah, you'd be burning so much trees. You make environmentalists angry.
Wow, it goes back quick, man.
And you're just killing the flower, huh?
Yeah, I mean it's flowering to get smoked. You know, that's the only reason why it exists, to get smoked.
Are you a vegan?
No.
But I mean, like, you don't have a problem with like 2,000 chickens being like, you know, housed in a freaking 20 by 20.
Listen, I'm not gonna say it's. I mean, that's pretty horrific. Like the conditions.
But like, do you support that?
But I like chicken nuggets, lifestyle. You know what I mean? So I'm like.
But you know
I'm not gonna act like the food that I eat isn't treated like that. I just, you know.
You just don't want to be doing the killing.
Yeah, I don't want to be working there. You know, on the line.
Well, then why aren't you vegan? If you're not willing to get your hands dirty, why aren't you vegan?
I mean, have you had a medium rare steak?
Yeah, I'm willing to kill for it.
Yeah. I'm willing to pay money for other people to kill it, you know, people like you.
That's what I'm saying, like, so, yeah. So I mean, how can you really tell me what to do?
You're the one saying you kill a dog, so, I mean, you're right.
But like,
who makes you the moral authority?
How are you telling me to stay home from duck hunting, you know, when I'm, like, going out and killing the food that I'm eating?
Who's to say a duck's not as important as a dog, or a dog's more important than a duck, you know?
Yeah. Or that duck had a gene that's going to pass on, help us cure cancer.
Yep. And
now it's your dog's jaws.
Yeah. Yep, and then I cooked it and it turned into the protein that made me smarter, and I'm the one that created that shit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, life's just a circle.
Exactly.
I get it, fellas. I mean, unless you're not eating meat, like, someone had to kill it, right?
Exactly. And that's just my point. Like, if you're not willing to do it, then like you can't say nothing about it.
Right. Yeah, or just stop or stop eating meat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, but there's also ways to kill shit too. Like there's respectful, humane, like where you know, not like some of these slaughterhouses are just it's ridiculous, you know. Yeah. Or like those chicken things you're talking about. I seen a documentary. I think it was called Purdue, I believe, like Purdue chicken. It was really bad.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm surprised we don't get sick, but
cool. Hey, well, everyone, thanks for joining us for another Monday night of Sports Talk with the fellas.
Are we going to do it next week during Memorial or whatever?
What is
Memorial Day? Oh, that's the weekend after, my bad.
Yeah.
All right, fellas.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Later, bros.